I want to talk tonight about accessing the benefits. Accessing the benefits. You know, I looked this up. This definition is going to be from American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 5th edition, 2011. It says this concerning a benefit: something that promotes or enhances well-being and advantage, to help or to aid. It also means a payment made by a government agency or insurance company to qualifying persons in a time of need. Then also says a form of compensation, such as paid vacation time, subsidized health insurance, or pension, provided to employees, and listen to this, in addition to wages or salary, as part of an employment arrangement. It also means a benefit can be public entertainment to raise money, but that's not what we're doing tonight. But a benefit, that's not the type of benefit we're talking about. A benefit, something that is added to in addition to something else, but that fully belongs to you. Now, the thing about benefits, how many of you have ever worked a job that you had benefits on that job? All right? Do you know this? Your company is very happy for you to work that job and never access those benefits. In fact, they'll just let you go right along, and it belongs to you. You sign the contract, they sign the contract. But if you don't access the benefits, they will be of no benefit to you. You can say it that way, right? So I want us to read Psalm 103. Then we're going to read several New Testament verses tonight. And I'm going to talk about it in one area, but actually these principles that we look at tonight, and we're going to just be very brief on them all. Each one of them we could stop and spend several sessions probably and talk about. But tonight we're just going to talk about how to access this. So give you a wide range of things. Psalm 103 verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine diseases, and who forgives all thine iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases. Now, we could read on there, but that gets us the idea. Forget not all of his benefits. Now, those benefits become ours. The moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the benefits belong to us. There is more to salvation. There is more to salvation than our just being born again. Now, I like what Mr. Scofield said in his commentary in the Scofield Study Bible concerning Romans 1 verse 16, where it talks about that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He said this concerning the word salvation. The Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. Salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes as justification, redemption, grace, propitiation, imputation, forgiveness, sanctification, and glorification. He goes on to say, salvation is in three tenses. The believer has been saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. Number two, the believer is being saved from the habit and dominion of sin. And number three, the believer is to be saved in the sense of entire conformity to Christ. And so notice that this good old Baptist preacher, bless his heart, said that salvation includes deliverance, amen, safety, keeping us safe. Boy, in this day and age, we need that benefit, do we not? Preservation, glory to God. Healing, that's a good one right there. Soundness. He says it brings together all of the redemptive acts and processes. Here today, we're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the redemptive acts, part of the redemptive plan, if you will, the plan of redemption. It's not the only part, but it's a major part. For if he, as Pastor mentioned this morning from 1 Corinthians 15, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if he didn't rise, then we're still in our sin. But thank God he rose from that grave. He's alive today. But he didn't stop there. He ascended into heaven, right? And is seated at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for the saints. Jesus is alive today. Isn't that right? Glory to God. And so I want us to look at ways in the New Testament. Now, you know, there are, just like on your job, these benefits, they belong to you. You don't have to do anything to necessarily earn them. It's not by works, but you do have to. You do have to, and you're already pre-qualified. You're already pre-qualified, but you do have to access them in the way that the company or the provider of the benefits has laid out. Like on your job, right? You have to access them. You know, if you go to the doctor, and if you've got health insurance, there you got that card. You have to show them the card. They make a copy of it and do all that, right? Then there's forms sometimes, and I know here just I had to fill out something online from something from last year. They were asking a question about something, and I had to fill it out. But that's the way they have it set up, and so you do it that way, and you can access the benefits that way. Well, God in the New Testament has given us the ways that we can access our benefits. Now, tonight, I'm going to talk about it in the area of just about healing and divine health, okay? I'm going to talk about it in that area. But realize that any of the benefits of God can be accessed, for the most part, in the ways that we're going to just briefly look at tonight. Now, as I said, we could look at each one of these many and spend a lot of time on each one of these, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It was interesting, I think last Sunday morning, Pastor Marvin had started here in 1 Corinthians, and I already had this sermon together because I ministered parts of this last week, Sunday night in Oklahoma City, and so I enjoyed listening to what he had to say about this, the manifestations of the Spirit of God, these different, if you will, gifts of the Spirit. But one of the ways that we access and can access divine healing, the benefit of healing and health, is when God initiates healing through the ministry of the Holy Spirit or by the gifts of the Spirit. Now, this is when God administers, God initiates this. Here in verse 7, we'll start 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For as one is given, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, notice this. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings, the New King James and many others say, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Over in verse 30, it does say gifts of healings. It's plural. So given to another, well, it's by the Spirit of God. Now these things happen as the Spirit wills. And there are times that God moves that way. Just this past Tuesday in our exaltation time, as we were worshiping God, the Spirit of the Lord prompted me to ask anybody that was having back issues. Well, what is that? Well, that's a word of knowledge, if you will, that there are people here that have back issues. Something, and it's manifestation. And we've had testimony after testimony of people who've been were healed that day. This is past Tuesday of back ailments. Amen. And then after we did that, they talked about, I heard it on the inside, didn't hear an audible voice, but just by the Spirit of God, pray for those that have headaches. But don't do it normally and show me the way to do it to have them. Well, we had one young man that gave testimony that as he was there, he put his hands together, he was about an inch apart as he put them together. And so he did it a second time. I said, do it a second time. And it was about a half inch. So he said, he just did it the third time. I didn't say it the third time, but he kept going till his arms were the same out here. And he looked at it, and they were together. Well, he had had an injury to his shoulder. All right? Now I'm loosely paraphrasing. He can give us some time maybe the total. But he'd had an injury to his shoulder where he had limited range of motion in that shoulder due to the scar tissue and different things like that. Well, when he did that, he thought, well, praise God. And he went like that, and that shoulder popped, and it's totally free. Hallelujah. Now, there's an instance where God initiated something, but he jumped in and got more just because he acted in faith, working together with God. Well, you know, thank God for these times. Thank God for when he does initiate that type of thing. And we thank through gifts of healings, working of miracles, different things of that sort, God does move. Praise the Lord. And we thank God for it. So that's one way. Matthew chapter 18, the prayer of agreement. We can receive our benefits, the benefit of healing and health, through the prayer of agreement. Now again, as I said, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on any of these. In fact, here, I'm going to really bite my tongue and just read one verse. All right, verse 19, Matthew 18, 19. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now notice here what it says, two of you. So how many do you have to have? Two shall agree on earth. That's two of us here on this earth. As touching anything. Now, I don't know where you're from, you know, in the world, but anything means anything. Well, would healing and health be included in that? Two of you on earth shall agree as touching healing. Right? Agree if you shall ask. Well, anything healing and you shall ask, it shall be done. Now notice here, there's not, it might be, it could be, it is. No, it shall be. It's guaranteed. Now notice the two have to agree. I heard, I believe it was Ed Cole's first one I really heard talk about this, that the place of agreement is the place of power. Make that statement. The place of agreement is the place of power. If two of you on earth. Now, of course, you could have more. Now, it didn't say if two of us, you know, if one believes and the other hopes. Right? It says if two of you agree. That's why, you know, it's so important that we stay out. One of the reasons it's so important we stay out of strife at all costs. Husbands and wives, stay out of strife. Because you are the most powerful prayer agent on the face of this earth. Two of you. Who the Bible says have become one flesh, two of you agree. I mean, it's so powerful. But all of us, didn't have to say it had to be a husband and wife here. Just if you can get another person and agree together. Now, I will say this, you ought to talk about it ahead of time. Hey, I want you to agree with me. Now, hold on, I don't know what you're going to pray. Now, I'll tell you this, if you ask me to agree with you, I'm going to make you pray and I'm going to listen. Because I got to know whether or not I can say amen. So that's why we need to talk about it ahead of time. Okay, what are we agreeing about? Well, I'm agreeing that I want you to agree with me that when we pray and ask God for me to be healed, I'll be healed. Well, I can agree with that. Let's agree. And I'm going to let you pray. See, prayer of agreement's not you come to me and ask me to pray for you. That's a whole different situation. You pray, I'll agree with you. All right? Okay, there's that one. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Here, John, by the Spirit of God, records what Jesus had to say concerning making demands in the name of Jesus. Making demands in the name of Jesus. We're going to look at a couple of verses in relationship with this. John 14, 13. And whatsoever, now here again, whatsoever and anything are the same here. It covers everything. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now notice here again, there's no questioning. There's no guessing. There's no maybe involved. He said, I will do it. Well, could you ask for healing here? Then the word ask here literally means to make a demand. Okay, not to demand Jesus do, but to make a demand on what already is yours in his name. Now, Mark 11, 23. Turn over there. Hey, you might as well get your finger ready. Lick your finger. If you're using your iPad, don't lick your finger. But get yourself ready because we're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight in a short time. Okay. Mark 11, 23. Now, he says demand, but this is the same type of thing. When you notice here in relationship to the mountain here, he says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Now, stop right there. Are you making a demand on the mountain? Do you see that? When you're speaking to the mountain, all right? He says, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now here, you know, I've used this verse many times to speak to my own body. I'll speak to my body to line up with the word of God. And I've also spoken to the whatever the symptoms are, whatever the, you know, the diagnosis is from the, thank God for the doctor that gives you the facts, the facts about what it is. And then you take the truth and apply it to the facts and change the facts. The application of the truth of God's word will always change the facts. Okay, when applied. But you have to apply them. It's just like medicine. How many of you have ever gotten medicine? Do you read the directions? Because it works a whole lot better if you read the directions and take the medicine the way it's supposed to be applied. You know, if you got a topical medication for a skin ailment, it does no good to swallow the stuff. Probably does a lot bad if you do that. But you understand what I'm saying. You have to apply. Well, how do we apply? We apply the word of God here. And we speak to that. And notice it says, if you don't doubt but believe, you'll have it. Now, we see this in Acts chapter 3. Let's turn over there. We see an application of this in Acts, the third chapter, verses 2 through 8 here we'll read. Now, Peter and John have gone up. They're going to the temple to pray. Acts 3, verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. In other words, he's asking alms. He's asking for help. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, and if you want to know why he said this, go back up in chapter 2 and read it. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it. So here Peter asks in the sense of making a demand. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Notice here, in the name of Jesus, he said. He's using that name to make a demand. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, you know, the name of Jesus works, obviously it works for us who believe, and it works in our benefit. But you know, that's the primary way that healing is afforded to the world through us, is through that name of Jesus. God has provided healing for the world through the name of Jesus. And how's that operate? Through you and I. I've seen many, many people around the world, been blessed to be able to travel and to see many, many people who got healed who weren't even Christians when they got healed. They became Christian after they got healed. Well, how did they receive? Because of the name of Jesus. And you know, God's just good that way. Hallelujah. You know, we're the ones that think you got to clean the fish before you catch them. Any fishermen here? Fisher peoples? You don't clean them. You got to get them in the boat, right? Praise the Lord. Well, healing gets folks in the boat. I want you to know that. All right, go back to John chapter 16. So there's that. Now, obviously, we can pray to the Father in the name of Jesus and access our benefits. Here, John chapter 16. So we had the gifts of the Spirit. We had prayer of agreement. We had speaking in faith in the name of Jesus. Here we have prayer to the Father in his name. John 16, 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you. I heard a guy say this one time, and it sounds good to me. And he said, every time you hear verily, verily, think of it this way. It'd be like saying today, I swear I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's what Jesus meant when he said, verily, verily. I like that. Well, you know, we wouldn't think Jesus would lie, would he? Jesus is not going to lie, is he? He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Well, whatsoever, could that be healing? Well, could it be any benefit? Could it be money to pay your bills? Could it be a new job? Could it be a better vehicle? Could it be money to give towards the building fund? Could it be money to help someone else go on a missions trip? Whatsoever you shall ask, he said, in my name, he will give it. It what? Whatsoever you ask, he will give it to you. Hitherto, or up to this time, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, we read Mark 11, 23. Let's go back and read verse 24. Mark 11, 24. Mark 11, 24 says, "Therefore, I say unto you," and here's this is Jesus, right? He's not going to lie to us, is he? How many of you believe we can stand on what Jesus said? We can count on it, right? If you can't count on what Jesus said, then he is not a sinless Savior, right? You see, if I sit here and read this and I judge, well, you know, maybe that's true, maybe that's not, then what I'm saying here, there's a possibility that Jesus just lied to me. And if he lied to me, then he wasn't sinless. But thank God, he never lied. Amen? And so we can count on this. "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray." Could you desire healing and health? Absolutely. He said, "When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Now, he doesn't bring out the part here about praying in his name, but we know we put scripture together. When we pray, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. But notice that he says, "Whatsoever things you desire," healing, if in this case, "when you pray, believe that you receive." Believe what? That, believe I receive what? What I've asked for, or healing. And you shall have it. Now again, he doesn't say you might, right? He said you shall have it. He said you shall have what? Them. Those things that you believe you received when you prayed. Those things. Well, I'm believing God for healing. I pray. I go to the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. I'm asking you for healing in my body. I thank you. I believe I receive it now in Jesus' name. Now, I'm never going to pray that prayer again because I've already believed I received it. If I pray it again, that means I didn't believe it the last time. Now, if you find yourself when you prayed it and you really didn't believe it, then tell God, "God, I really didn't believe that the first time, but I'm believing it now." Okay? You're not going to, he's all right. You're not going to get up, you know, not going to upset God. He's wanting to help you. But the prayer of faith, see, we believe we receive it when we pray. So I don't have to pray for that again. Now what do I do? Thank God for it. I thank God for it. So here the prayer of faith and prayer in the name of Jesus, and then the prayer of faith, if you will. Now, I put it on my scripture list, but 1 John chapter 5 talks about, it says this, "This is the confidence that we have in him." We could say, this is the faith, the firm persuasion that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of him. Confidence in prayer, you see. Confidence. Well, you know, If you're not confident that it's God's will for you to be healed, then you need to spend time in the scriptures and allow the word of God to renew your mind in that area and make sure that you're confident. Amen. See, in this area, you don't receive any benefits. And I'm going to tell you this, it works in the natural realm also. You're not going to receive any benefits from a company if you go to them and say, "If it be your will." Because I'm going to tell you, it's not their will. If that insurance company could have their way, they don't want to have to pay you. But But they will when you make demand upon it and you stand for your rights. I know we had a situation here 8 years ago in the month of April here. 8 years ago, our son was on a youth baseball team. And warming up before the game, he walked into the path of another young man warming up swinging a baseball bat. Hit him right in the mouth. All right? This past, just now, he's finally, they had to wait. I mean, it's been an 8 year process of getting a post put in there and that whole process, all right? But through the years, and since it was a medical situation, not a dental situation, medical insurance would cover it. But my wife has a tenaciousness that you don't want to mess with. I'm just going to tell you right now. She finally reached the head person. They said, "We want to congratulate you. Most people don't make it this far. They give up." I said, "If we'd given up, that would come out of our pocket. When we had the benefit all along." But she wouldn't give up. She just kept going back and said, "I want to talk to the next above." And she finally got to the supervisor and they congratulated her. She said, "Because most people give up before they get to me and end up paying for it themselves. But you're absolutely right. This belongs to you, what you're asking." Amen. Now see, with God, God's not the one withholding. He's not the enemy in the situation. We've got an enemy. And if I'm telling you what, if you won't give up, you're going to get what belongs to you. Every time. Every time. That's why when we pray in faith, believe we receive, we just stand. I love that in Ephesians. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Woo, glory to God. So what am I doing? Stand. See, standing is not inactivity. Standing is having done all. Glory to God. Now, why can we do all? Because He's done all. He's already done it all. We just stand in faith, believing. We've done what the Word of God says. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 16. Here's another way to access benefits, especially the benefit of healing. Praise the Lord. If you want to get some more in depth on this, Brother Hagin covers much of this in his I call it the workbook, the healing workbook. What's it called? Study course, yeah, the healing study course, and different books on healing, but ways to receive healing, ways to receive from God. And so, you know, it'd be good for you to get those and go over those. You know, how many of you've read that book before? That study course. All right, how many of you have read it in the last year? Some of you had because you had to because you're in school. But see, that listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing, not by having heard. And there's been several of the, you know, when I came to Raymond 1982, what's it, 34 years ago about, now 33 and a half years ago, I had read most of the books the ministry had by that time. I had read most of them before I even came. I had been saved for 2 years and just got cut our teeth on those books. We'd gotten a hold of most of them and read them, you know, and marked them all up, you know, wore them out, that type of thing, you know. All the back those days, the staples come unbound, and I thank God, you know, they've got a lot better binding on them now. But just think, you know what I'm saying? And so you get another copy, or you gave yours away and you got copy, you know. But you know, I've just been impressed here, especially in the last year or two. Go back to reading those books again. Read those over. And you know what? There's stuff in there I never saw before. Yes, yes. Amen. Imagine that. You know there's stuff in the Bible you haven't seen yet either. Yes. I won't ask of you how many have read your Bible in the last year. I don't want to see any of that. But Mark 16, verse 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name." What name's that? Jesus. "They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Now, serpents here represents the power of the devil. "And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, notice that. He didn't say they might. He said they shall. They shall recover. Laying hands on the sick. Now, notice he didn't say they shall pray. He said they shall lay hands on the sick. That's okay to say something, but it's not. He didn't say, now later, here in the next one we're going to look at, does say the prayer of faith. But here it just says, believers in the name of Jesus will lay hands on the sick. Now, I do want to notice something here, and it's implied here, but there's an implied agreement that the sick person agrees with you laying hands on them. That's why you just can't run around just in Jesus' name, just run around and put your hand on people and they'd be healed. Now, that could happen, you know, but you think about it. Peter's shadow in the book of Acts. Those people, they put people in the street so his shadow would touch. They weren't just there by accident. Amen? You know, Jesus is walking there in Luke, I believe it's Luke chapter 6, it said, and they touched him, and there went virtue out of him, and everyone who touched him was made well. It didn't say that everybody Jesus accidentally brushed up against was made well. It was those that reached out and touched him. So here this laying hands on the sick, you know, a lot of people, well, why don't you just go to the hospital and lay hands on everybody and just clear out the hospital? Because there's an implied agreement here and permission. There in April of 1993, I went to the hospital to make a visit and walked in. The woman had a stroke, completely paralyzed on one side of her body. And the Lord had told me on the way up there, said, when you get there, ask her, quote her Psalm 91 verse 16, with long life I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. Ask her if she's satisfied with the length of her life. And then quote her Mark chapter 16 that says, believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Ask her if she believes if you lay hands on her, she'll recover. And so in asking her, you know, she was paralyzed, could just barely make sound. Her husband got the gift of interpretation. Now, he wasn't even saved, but God used him by the Spirit, you know. She answered to me, it sounded like both answers were the same, but on the first one, no, she's not satisfied. She said no. Second time, she made the exact same sound out of her mouth. He said, yes, she believes. This guy's not even a Christian. Okay. Well, I left. She wasn't any better. I said, I'll be back tomorrow. When I got there the next day, she's sitting up in bed, makeup on, hair done, totally free from any sign or in fact, the doctor was in there saying, when we took this exam yesterday and we looked at this, we saw where you'd had this traumatic thing in your brain. There was the mark here. She had the picture right there. Here it was, right here. That's what caused the paralysis. And then here over here, you've had two other strokes before this. And she said, yeah, I did. And she said, there's evidence of that. Now, but today, when we took the picture today, there's no evidence of that stroke or that you've ever had a stroke. And so bless the doctor's heart. So what we believe happened was, went through her, you know, bless her heart. It was some traumatic, stressful event that took place. Well, it was interesting enough that when she had the stroke, she fell and broke her ankle. And so now the doctor, and I didn't know anything about that. And the doctor said to her, well, you know, you've got your ankle is severely broken. You're going to be here in the hospital several days, and you're going to go through at least, it's going to take about 6 months of therapy before you ever can walk without assistance again. It's broken that bad. And so the doctor left, and I said, well, praise God, you know, tell me, you know, this. Everybody was all excited, you know, about what had happened. I said, well, I didn't know anything about your ankle. I said, let me ask you a question. The Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You believe if I lay hands on you, God will heal your ankle? She said, I believe it. I understood that time. I didn't need interpretation. By the way, that man got saved as a result of that. In fact, what had happened was they'd had a big argument. And he'd told her, I'm leaving. I'm divorcing you. They had a big argument and she had that stroke. Saved their marriage. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But saved their marriage. Glory to God. He got saved. Saved their marriage. They had a happy marriage the rest of their life. Amen. Praise God. And so I laid hands on her. Now you said, I didn't feel anything the day before, didn't feel anything then. Left. My pastor was out of town, and one of the reasons I was doing visits that day, but I had Sunday morning service, then Sunday night service came along, and I'm up on the platform, and it's praise and worship, and I'm singing with the praise and worship team, and at that church, Pastor Marvin's preached there, the old building, where it had just that single door in the back from the hallway, and it opened up into the church. And all of a sudden, I saw that door fly open. They flew open. And here comes this woman walking down this hallway in high heel shoes, not limping at all. I asked her sometime later, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you know, when I came into the hospital, she said, well, she said, you asked those questions. She said, I was paralyzed, but I wasn't deaf. I heard what you said. And I just figured, you know, that if you came up there and asked me these questions, it was in the Bible. I might as well just go ahead and believe it. What have I got to lose? So she just agreed with it. Praise God, she got results. And again, like I said, didn't feel anything, wasn't anything. But believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. One more place, James chapter 5, before we close tonight. Now surely in all these places, you can find one place that you can hook up with and receive the benefit. Okay? Now, in there with Mark 11, where you speak in that, you know, that's, we could bring up another, that's where you would agree with God's word and just claim and stand on God's word. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Just say what God says about your situation. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And I think that's the place the Father wants us all to get to. And that's, but if you're not there, that's okay. Any of these others will work just fine. Just fine for you. But I think, where we get to where we're grown up, you know, in the things of God, and as we're all growing, you know, it's amazing. I used to hear people say, well, the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. I used to think they're slow learners or something. I have something wrong with those people. I understand it 35 years later now. I understand it. The more I see, the more I realize, and I mean, just constantly. I mean, here, I'm just telling you, here recently, I've been seeing stuff. I was like, that can't be. Somebody has put that in my Bible. That had not there before. I'm telling you, it's just been like reading the Bible anew for the, again. Thank God. Now here in James chapter 5, verse 14, is any sick among you? Asking that question. Let him, now stop here, wait a minute. Who's the him? The sick person. Call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And notice here, this seems to be even a person that's so young in the Lord, they don't even know if they have sinned, okay? And they don't even know, they don't really know that just go to God and confess it and, you know, get rid of it. Here he says if they're sick. Now, he's not saying they're sick because they've sinned, okay? But he is saying here if they have. But notice this, the prayer of faith. Now, who prays the prayer of faith here? The elders of the church. Not the sick person. The sick person's part is just to call for him. Come. The elders pray the prayer of faith, anoint the person with oil. And notice it said, the Lord shall do what? Shall raise them up. He didn't say the Lord might. He said the Lord shall raise them up. And if. Now, no, it didn't say it's necessary. It didn't say they had. But it said if he has, they'll be the sin, he'll be forgiven him. You know, this is. Let me stop here and just make a statement here as we close. It's the easiest thing in the world to get forgiveness for sins, because it's already, the price has already been paid. You're already forgiven. And since 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who his own self in his own body on the tree bear our sins, that we being dead might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Since at the same time your sins are forgiven, your healing was taken care of too. It's the easiest thing in the world to get healed and walk in healing. Why? The price has already been paid. It belongs to you. It's your benefit. It's a benefit of yours. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up together if you would please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. Thank you for our benefits. Can you just lift your hands and thank God? Lift your voice and thank him for the benefits. Thank you for our benefits. Thank you for the benefit of forgiveness of all of our iniquities. Thank you for the benefit of healing all of our diseases, Lord. Thank you, Father, for redeeming our life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. As we act upon your word, then we do receive what it is that you've already provided for us. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you that you're not withholding any benefit from us. But we do have an enemy, and so you've given us legal recourse to stand against him and to declare to him, no, I've obeyed the word of God, so you get out of here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Well, if you need something right now, just reach your hands with your voice up to the Father and just thank him for it. Hallelujah. Our prayer team is going to go ahead and come on down now, if they would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for healing right now. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Well, I keep hearing this. The chastisement of your peace, peace of mind, was upon Jesus. He bore it for you. Torment has to go in Jesus' name. Confusion has to go in the name of Jesus. Speak peace, peace, peace to your mind right now in Jesus' name. Everybody say it together. I take peace because Jesus bore my chastisement, and peace belongs to me. Thank you, Father, for your peace in the midst of the storms, the peace that Jesus has given. Not the world's peace, but the peace of God. I thank you for it. It's mine now in Jesus' name. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah.